Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship. Thank you.
worship, we will use divine service setting three. And that is how we begin on page 184. So we begin, as we always do, with our invocation, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful man. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, called redeeming servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And instead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now to the inside cover of the bulletin, and there you will have the first the intro. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, I will extol you, my God and King, every day. You. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. Glory be to the Father. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, glory be to God on high. To Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that ever again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord." Gradually is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. Our epistle reading today comes from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, may be filled with all the fullness of God. And to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please sing for the Alleluia. I'm going to go to the next one. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. They did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They crossed over and came to land at Gennesaret and towards the shore. When they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him. Ran about the whole region, began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he came, in villages, cities, and countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our Christian faith along with millions of Christians around the world. This morning we do so using the Apostles' Creed, which is picked up page 192. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, the Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life." May be seated. And at this time, I would like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward. Good morning! It just didn't sound very exciting. Can we do better than that? Good morning! Okay, good. That's bad. That's bad. Well, I guess I'm tired today. It's nice to see you. And I was wondering today, feel like you have a really good memory. Does anybody here feel like they have a really good memory? Seriously? Okay. So, what are some things that are really important to you remember? Oh, yes. I fully agree. It's important to remember to clean your room. Yes. That's a good thing to remember. What do you think? It's important. Oh, yes. That Jesus was always with you. Absolutely. That it was important to me. It's important to remember to make your bed. Wow. Really kind of give it up for everybody here. It's So, how about this? Is it important to remember the names of the planets in our solar system? Is that an important thing to remember? Is that an important thing to remember? You guys are going to be back in school in just a couple of weeks. You're going to be ready to learn all kinds of things like that. So, I know of a way that makes it easier to remember things like the names of the planets in our solar system. There is a thing you can do to go along with each of the names of the planets to remember the letter that begins with your names. So, it might be hard to remember, you know, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, right? But you can remember this other phrase. Maybe you guys have been talking with me before. This is the one that I know. My very energetic mother. My very energetic mother just served us nachos. My very energetic mother just served us nachos. If you remember that, which sounds really delicious, if you remember first letter of each one of those words, you can remember that the names of the planets begin with each of those letters. It makes it a little bit easier. Is it important to remember the names of the five great lakes? Does anybody know an easy way to remember that? There's a word you can make with the first letter of each of the great lakes. Word homes. H-O-M-E-S. So, Lake Huron is H. Lake Ontario is O. Lake Michigan is M. Lake Erie is E. Lake Superior is S. H-O-M-E-S. Homes. Right? So, there are things in the world that are kind of hard to remember, but there are things you can do to make it a little bit easier. Right? Now, information about planets and Great Lakes is not the only thing that are important to remember. Actually, I brought some things with me to show you. There are a whole bunch of things that are on the walls of my office that are good reminders. They help me to remember things that are important. I wanted to show you some of those are. Like this. This is a calendar. See? Oh, I didn't even know if it was July. So, we are here, July 28th, right? So, if I'm sitting in my office and I can't remember what day it is or what week it is, I can turn around and look at this. And this is a good reminder of where we are in the year. And this is a special calendar for pastors that even shows you what color you're supposed to have on the altar for each Sunday. So, down here in the 28th of July, you can see that it's green. And you can see that I'm wearing green today. Right? It's green up here in the altar. The other things I've got on my walls in my office. This is a special plaque that was given to me by the congregation when I had my 10th anniversary of being a pastor. And so this is a great reminder of how the Lord has blessed me in my ministry here in Boynton and in my relationship with the congregation here in China. Okay. Here's a cool thing to remember. This is before Max was born. This is Zoe and Zach, and they're really little. And I have their pictures still on my wall in my office. And they're very new. I can't see them. They're not everybody's full time, so I'm going to get them. So it's fun to remember not only my children, but to remember what they were like when they were little. This one goes even further back. This was a present that my first confirmation class in Boylston gave me. So these are their fingers making what? A cross. That's pretty cool, right? So when I look up at that picture, I remember what it was like to teach them when they were in confirmation class. The most important thing I have is a cross. Now this cross is also special because this little thing right here in the middle me that when I was in my first year as a pastor here, we were celebrating 150 years as a congregation. This is our special logo. That's right there in the middle of the cross. But the cross is the most important thing to me. That Jesus came to be our Savior, that He died on the cross to take away our sins, and that gives us hope because we'll get to live forever. So we have all these important things to help us to remember. In our Old Testament reading today, we heard about the story of Noah, and at least part of it, the part of the end. After the big flood, after Noah and his family and all the animals came off of the ark and got to stand on dry ground again, God gave them something that would help them to remember. It's not on the wall of an office, but God has something even bigger that He can put something up, right? Not just the wall, He puts what up in the sky? The rainbow, right? When the rainbow is seen, God remembers that He made a very special promise that He would never destroy the earth with a flood ever again. That's a pretty cool thing. But whenever the people see the same rainbow, they remember that God loves us and has mercy on us. That He doesn't treat us the way we deserve because of our sin, but He has loved and He rescued us. So when we think about the sign of the rainbow, or like the cross that I showed you before, these are really important things to remember. Even more important. The names of the planets, the names of the great names. These are the most important things to remember, and we thank God that He gives us these signs, these helpful ways to remember those really, really important things. So let's hold our hands in prayer. And you will repeat after me. Dear God, we thank You for remembering. text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So today we got to hear the ending of one of the most famous and well-known stories in the Bible, one that a lot of us have heard over and over again ever since we were little, all about Noah and the ark and the great flood, and you picture the rainbow and the clouds, and you picture the animals going on the ark and coming off the ark, and all of those things that you used to see in those beautiful pictures, those illustrations in children's Bibles. I gotta tell you, as a preacher, I really like when we have an opportunity to meditate on a passage like this, a really well-known part of Scripture, because when we have that kind of opportunity, it's a reminder that church doesn't always have to be about coming and learning something brand new that we've never heard before. This might be a little controversial to say, but this isn't supposed to just feel like school, where you show up and you hear from the teacher and you get your little nugget of information that you're going to go home with. Sometimes it's really nice to take something that you already know, something you already know really well, but to be able to apply that into your life in a new and fresh way. In other words, your life, your situation is probably different now, today, than the last time you considered the story of Noah's Ark. And so the way that you hear these words today might hit you a little bit differently than any other time that you've heard it previously. I can say with a little bit of confidence that for a lot of us who live in this area, we might consider a great flood on the earth in a different way, considering some of the things that have happened around here just in the last couple of weeks or so, with all of the rain that we've received and a lot of the flooding that's taken place in our area. We have these new images, these pictures and videos we've seen of what water can do when it's not contained and how devastating it can be, how destructive it can be. You think of the water just flowing over the roads, right? Cars being scattered left and right, sometimes even turning over. You think of the videos of the dam in Nashville, the water spilling over, and all of these things that have taken place, it can make a person feel very helpless. So maybe that's what comes to mind when you consider the great flood today. Just less than 2 weeks ago, I guess 2 Tuesdays ago, Katie and I were in the basement in the Parsons and we were with Mr. Stoff and we were with the trustees and we were standing in about 2 inches of water and we were spending that whole day pumping water out as best as we could, using the shop in places where the pump wasn't working. You know, just making countless trips back and forth from the basement to the dumpster because there are all these things that had gotten soaked and destroyed. And you think about a moment like that, and then you consider what God says here in verse 11. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So even when the rain is coming down, it seems like it'll never stop. We know that God always sets a limit to this kind of destruction that wreaks havoc in our lives. The waters really will eventually recede. Anyway, it might be interesting to know that even though the story of Noah's Ark is one of those biblical classics, this Sunday is the only one in the entire 3-year cycle of church readings. This is the only one that mentions this passage of Noah and the ark. After today, this will not come up in church again until July of 2027. So I was thinking about that maybe we should take this opportunity to not only limit our meditation to the words that we have here in Genesis chapter 9, but let's consider the entire story as a whole, starting all the way back in Genesis chapter 6. And let's do this with sort of a unique approach. I want to use the image that is so prevalent here in our passage today, the rainbow. The rainbow, the sign of the covenant, which God makes with his people. Something that God gives his people alone is not intended to be something that we use to show how proud we are of our sin or anything like that, like so many in the world use it today. How does God use this symbol? It's a hopeful symbol. It's a wake of the devastation that sin unchecked can create in the spirit. It shows how God deals mercifully with sinners. But do you? So, for the rest of the sermon, let's use the rainbow. Specifically, let's use the colors of the rainbow to guide our thoughts. And actually, I brought another visual aid for us to also here. This is another thing that is not on my office wall, but this is something that belongs in Zoe's room. This is something that was given to Zoe as a gift. It's a long time ago. And it's the letter Z for Zoe. I'm going to place it right here. Hopefully, you can see it. The cool thing about this letter Z is that it has all these LED lights in it. And then I have this fancy remote control, and I can make it whatever color I want. Right? So this will be the way that we go through the different colors of the rainbow. And you notice that I titled the sermon today Roy T. Biv. So along with those other mnemonic devices that I mentioned in the children's message, that's another one to help us remember the seven colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. That's the made-up name, Roy. So you're going to start with red. Hopefully I can get this to work. Okay. Red. Okay. So red is a strong color, right? It's a color that we often associate with anger. And so maybe that's why sometimes if you're really mad, red, right? And unfortunately, that's a really good way to describe God's attitude and mood going back to Genesis chapter 6. As more and more people were coming into the world, and as they were coming into this world with that curse of Adam and Eve, the sin within them, things were getting really, really out of hand. So in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. And then verse 6 says, the Lord regretted that he had made man. And then in verse 7, God says, I will blot out man. It's kind of jarring to see God treat his people this way. But this is always where sin leads eventually. Right? The wages of sin is death. And God is not casual in the way that he goes about approaching sin. He hates sin with a passion. Red. Speaking of passion, God also loves his people with a passion. And so, passion is the key word. God punishes our sin, but he does so by pouring his red-hot wrath over sin on Jesus. Talk a little bit more about that later, but we've got to move on to the next color. Now, this one is not really that orange, but that's about as good as we're going to be able to do. You know, it's kind of orange, but orange. And, orange is somewhat of a difficult color to nail down emotionally, right? But orange is often associated with energy. Excitement comes from the combination of these kind of energetic colors of red and yellow. And so I think that kind of goes well with the next part of the story of Noah's Ark. After God expresses his anger over sin, that's when he calls Noah to build the ark. It's this massive undertaking, especially when you consider the kind of technology that would have been available to Noah at the time. Some scholars believe that it took Noah and his son somewhere between 50 and 75 years to complete the project. So, I mean, you consider like how much energy would be needed in order to just do all of that work, but also to collect all of the food that was going to be needed for all of these animals, and of course, dealing with all of the ridicule that they were receiving from the people in the world all around them. I mean, this is just requiring a whole lot of that energy. But Genesis 6 Noah did this, he did all that God commanded. So there you go. He's full of energy. Now I'm going to switch to yellow. Ooh, yellow. It's only slightly different from the orange. And this also brings us to the next chapter. So Genesis chapter 7, then, is where we read this. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Scary. Scary stuff. Or a belly or something like that, right? You listen to the way that the flood is described like that in Genesis chapter 7, and suddenly those 6 or 7 inches of water or whatever it was that we got the other day doesn't really seem like that big of a deal anymore. And that was scary enough, but rather than 6 inches, we're talking about 6 weeks, 40 days of that kind of rain falling down to the earth with no stopping, and at the same time, God is releasing the fountains of the great deep. So evidently there was this large store of water under the ocean that was coming up, so it's coming down from the top, and it's coming up from the bottom, and it's really, really scary. These are the kinds of details that I don't remember being illustrated in my children's Bible years and years ago. Then we get to get past the scary stuff. We switch to green. Genesis chapter 8. Green is the color of life. Green is what you want to see. When you're looking out your garden, you're looking out in the fields, green is what no one wanted to see. He waited and waited and waited for months for the waters to recede. And finally, in Genesis chapter 8, he sends out a dove. And the dove kind of goes around, and at first it sees nothing but water, and then comes back. But then he tells us in Genesis 8 that a week later he sends out the dove again. And this time, the dove comes back with a leaf. So the way that it's worded here in Genesis 8 is that in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. That little green leaf was the first sign of life outside the ark. It meant that creation was healing. It was the beginning of the restoration of the entire world. And it showed Noah's family, just like it shows us too, that even when it seems like we are surrounded by nothing except for death and destruction, that our God still is in control, that He is still the author of life, that He is still providing for us all the time. What a wonderful blessing that is. And that brings us to Paul. Paul is interesting. Because a lot of times we associate Paul with doesn't tell us what emotions are going on in Noah's heart as he makes his way off the ark, but we do hear toward the end of chapter 8 how Noah and his family got to go off of the ark and step onto this dry ground for the first time in a long time. And you can imagine how eerie that experience would have been, right? Relative silence compared to what they had been used to from before. There's nobody else around except for the people and the animals that were on the ark. So I imagine, I don't know for sure, but I imagine that looking around at all of that aftermath would have made Noah a little bit blue, a little bit sad, just like any flood victim would see and feel as they look around and they see the aftermath of the flood. also see in Genesis chapter 8 is in the midst of that eerie, the first thing that Noah does, he builds an altar. He worships the Lord. He makes a sacrificial offering. And smoke, of course, rises up to heaven. So I also imagine that Noah would be watching that smoke and also catching fruits of the blue sky. That is a different kind of blue. The blue sky brings comfort and hope, reminds us that there is a greater day to come. That gives us hope too. The next color is supposed to be indigo. I'm going to go with that. I know it's kind of purple. I don't know what to do with indigo. You know, it's like this weird, it's kind of bluish, kind of purplish. If it bothers you that indigo is included in the rainbow, you got to blame Sir Isaac Newton. He was the one that first said that the rainbow has seven colors and included indigo as a separate color. But I think for the purposes of the sermon, I like the idea of the in-between nature of indigo and reflecting on the in-between nature of where God's people were in history. From that moment when they stepped off of the ark all the way until our Lord Jesus himself dies on the cross for our sins. All through the Old Testament, God's people were kind of like in this in-betweenish, indigo-ish kind of time. They knew that God was their God who would protect them, who would provide for them, who would never destroy the earth again. But it wasn't until Jesus from the cross says, "It is finished," that they would have really fully understood. So it's kind of in between. I think that gives us a different perspective too. It helps us to reflect on the fact that we know that it is certain and sure our salvation is taken care of. Sin is destroyed because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. We don't live in that indigo in between time anymore. Last, certainly not least, B is for violent. What could we accept as violent? Well, let's take 32 weeks. But violent is the color of royalty. Violet is one of the colors that we can picture Christ wearing as he sits on the throne at the right hand of God the Father. Our Lord uses that royal position of authority over us not to rule with an iron fist. But instead, what does he do? He gives us his blessings. He gives us blessings like the covenant that we hear about in today's reading in Genesis 9. The covenant that promises that God will not treat us the way that we ought to be treated, that he will love us, that he will protect us for all eternity. And notice that the covenant that God gives to Noah is not something that requires anything on Noah's part. It's entirely one way. Entirely God's grace and mercy. We don't have to earn it. We simply believe. We receive. And so with that, the rainbow is complete. And kids have all the cool stuff you can do something. So my prayer is that whenever we see these colors, we can better remember the whole of God's story of salvation. Not just in the days of Noah, but certainly in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also, of course, in our day as well. That we always take sin seriously, but we don't fall into fear and despair, because we know that the same God who rescued Noah rescued us too. So may that always be our mindset until the day when we join the saints and archangels in heaven, somewhere over the rainbow. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn now to Father page 192, and we sing together the offertory. Mm-hmm. Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have made us your own dear children through holy baptism. Strengthen us with power by your Holy Spirit in our inner being, that your Son may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you are able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask for faith. Help us to glorify you within your church. Ground us in love. Give us a faith rooted in the promises of Christ. Strength to comprehend with all the saints your love, which surpasses all knowledge. Bless all of our prayers. especially ask you to bless the sister congregation, Josiah, Israel, and Carlisle. Continue to lead them during their time of vacancy. Send them a shepherd who will care for the flock. We also ask you to bless the missionary Grace Sub, that her upcoming mission work in Montreal would be fruitful, and that many would come to faith as you work through her. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, as you preserved Noah and his family and brought forth new life from the ark under the promise of your covenant, bless now our families also. Make marriages strong and fruitful according to your will. Let your word rule in every home, uniting its members in forgiveness, causing your son to dwell in every heart of his family. Bless all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Jacob, Christopher, Kenton, Aston, Elise, Elliot, Elena, Glenn, Tony, Michael, Gracie, and Norma. We also ask you to bless our marriages, especially those couples who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Rodney and Julie Schnicker, Wayne and Ruth Humberford, Steve and Lori Heidmeier, and Daryl and Tony Collins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of might, spare us and future generations from wickedness. Give blessings to our nation and its leaders to rule according to your good pleasure. Protect the members of the police and other public servants and the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Ike, Patty, Austin, Ford, Joyce, Tandon, Shannon, and Mike. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we, your people, cry out for your healing upon all those in need, including all who are on our prayer list, especially those who are in care facilities, Greta, Eula, Ronnie, Jim, Charles, Betty. We look before you those who have had recent surgeries and procedures, especially Elaine, Bush, and Cordell. We ask you to be with those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Eunice, Jim, Dorothy, Marvin, Amy, Tyson, Francis, Brent, Linda, Roland, Laverne, and all those who are facing cancer. Even as you sent your son to heal and make whole, teach them ever to trust in your love, for you never leave nor forsake them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you name every family in heaven and on earth. We give thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labors. Preserve us in the faith so that Christ might dwell in our hearts richly, until that day when we join them around your throne. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift make his face shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and give you peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is One Last Time. You'll have the hymn of the month for July. You are my all in all, and once again, you'll find that printed on the bulletins. you've had a fabulous mission partner, and to see what the Lord has in store for you as a teacher. As Grace mentioned, she has a lot of fundraising to do. We are going to collect door offering sticks if you'd like to support that ministry. You can do so on the way out. But also, there's plenty more information about what Grace is going to be doing that she wasn't able to share just now. So please go to Facebook and find our Bible study video, because we shared a lot more about that ministry earlier this morning. And so you can watch that on the way and learn a whole lot more about Grace's upcoming ministry. Are there any other announcements today? Anything else?
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.